Everybody, welcome to the August 21st, 2024 meeting of the Flaviana County Board of Supervisors. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chair, there's two things you wanted me to bring up under new business. One is the change under FOIA regarding the definition of meetings for board members. And then the second one was the VACO certified supervisors course. So we just from a discussion have those two pieces.
Thank you.
Under new business, please.
So, motion made by Mr. Ryan, seconded by Mr. Doe. All in favor? Chair votes aye. Number 01. All right. County Administrator's report?
Yep, so a few things to report. So one, welcome one new person, Trey Walton. He started in the planning department as a planner and GIS technician. He started August 14th. And want to congratulate Bruce Anderson in Public Works. He was a building services worker too before. He is now the building services supervisor for the department. And he began that position on August 16th. So welcome, Trey, and congratulations to Bruce. Social services had their back-to-school program this year. 163 backpacks were filled with school supplies. The supplies were donated by Bides Road Baptist Church, Flaviana Baptist Church, and Lake Christian Church. Social services also had a collection box in the office for employee contributions. And this was the most that they've seen as far as donations, and a big congratulations and thank you goes out to the churches that supplied the goods, and then also to Jane Wilson in social services who coordinates the program every year. So I know they both summer and winter they do a good job of getting everything together for families. And then just some upcoming meetings. We have our regular meetings September 4th. We have a 5 p.m. regular meeting in here. September 18th, we have a 6 p.m. regular meeting in here. And then Wednesday, October 2nd, we have a 5 p.m. regular meeting in here. And just remember this Saturday, we have the Board of Supervisors planning at the library.
What time does it start again?
It'll be there at 8:30. We'll get some little breakfast, and then we're starting sharply at 9, right?
No, I think it's 8 and 8:30.
8:30 was a new thing.
Is that right?
8 and 8:30.
Okay. They correct me. 8 and 8:30. Right. Breakfast at 8. We'll start sharply.
Thanks, sir.
Apologize.
Thank you. Well, we will have our first round of public comment. Anybody wishing to address the board, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct to the board. Anybody wishing?
Good evening, board. My name is James Jonester. I live at 843 Jefferson in Palm Island, Virginia. And I'm just here today to reiterate my request for virtual public comment via Zoom. I think it's very important for that accessibility for the constituents in the county to have that opportunity to present their thoughts to the board. Just anecdotally, at the meeting where the solar ordinance was recently discussed, I had planned to attend and had public comment prepared, but was unable to due to contracting COVID. I know that it's not necessarily a pandemic level issue any longer, but getting sick in any regard should dissuade people from attending in person, and I would like it if people had the opportunity to speak, even if they had some sort of ailment keeping them at home. But that's not the only reason. I also have a small child, and I know many working families can struggle to get to the meetings on time, especially if they're at 5 o'clock. And there is a second round of public comments, but it's a little difficult to know when in the meeting that might actually occur. And so getting to the meeting at the time when you need to be there to give public comment can be challenging. I know we've had IT security issues in the past, but securing a Zoom call is something that's been done elsewhere. whether it means putting a password on or requiring a sign-up for folks who want to speak over the Zoom, that those are solutions that I've heard proposed. And I just want to voice once again that I hope you are seeking these solutions and finding a resolution for this opportunity for the people in Flavanna. Thank you.
Anybody else? Seeing none, we'll close the first round of public comment. We'll move on to straight to action matters, aren't we? Okay. Item A, appeal of staff interpretation of subdivision ordinance as it pertains to requested subdivision of tax map 41, section A, parcel 61, located on Terre Haute Lane, private road per section 19-8-1 of the Flavanna County Code. Mr. Whitten and
Mr. Borchelon.
Yes, I'll take this one. I'll keep this real brief. Basically, 19-8-1 dot C of the county code pertains to private roads serving subdivisions that are not built to VDOT standards. So this is why we're here tonight.
Do you want to pull up the presentation?
I'm not really sure yet because he's requested another deferral. So I just want to give a quick primer. So I determined that any future subdivisions on this road were restricted to the requirements of 19-8-1.C. Mr. Hartwick did appeal that decision. You may recall it was deferred last month until this meeting, deferred on early September meeting to tonight. Mr. Hartwick has requested an additional appeal. The main reason is he is looking into making improvements to the road to bring it up to VDOT standards, in which case this section of the code would not apply. And also he's having some health issues and couldn't attend tonight, but the main reason is the road issue. So he has requested another deferral for up to 12 months on this appeal.
Questions?
So I understand where he says that he's gonna bring it to VDOT standards. Couldn't we just uphold your decision and then when he brings it to VDOT standards, he can develop those parcels as he wants anyways, right? So why would you defer?
He had requested the deferral. So it may be the cost of bringing that road to VDOT standards could be $500,000, could be $1 million until he has VDOT go out there and look at it. He might want to proceed with the appeal if the cost of the bring it to VDOT standards are astronomical.
And I have spoken with Scott Thornton on this, and this is very early in the process. Scott has suggested Mr. Hartwick retain a consultant who's experienced in these matters. So it could be some time before we know how much it's going to cost to bring the road up to standard.
Another question. I spoke with the applicant, or I guess we would call it the appellant there, a little bit about this and was tracking some emails this week since that's in my district. And he had been copying me on those. And my thoughts here are that I kind of understand where you're coming from there, Tim, but my thoughts are here, I don't think having this sit does any detriment one way or another, to the public in any sense of the word. So, I mean, I think deferring, for lack of a better term, no pun intended, to his request to defer would be something I think we should probably do here on that to give him some time to kind of figure out what's going on here with this. I think he's gone about this. I know he appealed your decision. He's spoken very highly of you and the way that everybody's kind of handled this. I think we're all on good terms here. I think it would be kind of a, good thing for us to do to kind of adhere to his request. That would be a motion to defer unless anybody.
So you just need a set date discussion. When you're deferring it to.
He's got discussion.
Yeah, it's part of the motion that.
40 years.
Yeah. Oh,
Mr. Chairman, we need a set date for the motion.
So what, just a year from the day? I mean, that wouldn't fall on the day of the board meeting.
You can do August 20th, which is less than a year. Okay. As long as it's not more than 12 months, you just can't defer past 12 months.
Okay.
So you can do August 20th of 2025.
Did you discuss one?
Yeah, I just want one point, just so that this doesn't get bloodied like we often do with time, is that we retain everything, your notes on who you contacted, previous planning people, people have a tendency to die and whatnot, so we don't want to lose any of the information so that when this comes up again, we have it. Or leave their job.
Or leave their job, yes.
I have a folder here with all the notes in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point, too, because that's sort of how we kind of got this predicament a little bit, I would say. I move that the Board of Supervisors defer the subdivision agent's interpretation of section 19-8-1 of the Fluvanna County Code as it relates to subdivisions on private roads with respect to tax map 41, section 8, parcel 61, until August 20th, 2025.
Motion made by Mr. Good, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item B, resolution to perform a speed limit study on Route 662. Mr. Dolphin.
Again, really quick, you know, we talked about this, you know, there were residents' concerns that the speed on Route 662 was too high for where the homes were and people on the road. So this would be a speed study from Route 662 Dobby Creek Road from the intersection of Route 645 Beals Lane Road, which is the star on the top of the screen, traveling south to the intersection of Route 611 Payne's Landing Road, which is in the Cunningham District. Happy to answer any questions. I think it's pretty cut and dry.
Any questions or comments? Anybody want to make a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a resolution entitled a resolution requesting a speed limit study on Route 662 Dobby Creek Road from Route 645 Beals Lane to Route 611 Payne's Landing Road in the Cunningham District.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, seconded by Mr. Hodge. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.
And just one quick thing to note, I sent an email to the board that the speed change did occur on Route 6 right there in front of the old fire and rescue building. We got into the study, and so the speed limit's been increased. I think Mr. Goad said, it's already out there.
I said on the way to take the name and take care of it. It's been changed.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, public hearing. Item C, public hearing to enact County Code Section 2-1-7 to assess electronic summon system fee. Mr. Whitman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That's a lot of presentation. So Virginia Code Section 17.1-279.1 has authorized an electronic summons fee of $5 for any defendant who is charged by the Sheriff's Office for violating statute or ordinance within the county. So the amendment to County Code Section 2-1-7 would authorize the $5 fee, and the fee would be assessed as part of the cost in each criminal or traffic case in district and circuit court. So the fee would be used to fund software, hardware, and associated equipment costs for the implementation and maintenance of an electronic summons system. And Captain Hurd had emailed me requesting this ordinance change. So the public hearing has been properly advertised. The ordinance will be effective September 1st, which will give the court time to update the fee schedule. But I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions or comments? All right, well, we will open then the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anybody wish to speak? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. And did you have something? Oh, I thought you were going to have
no.
All right, well, anybody want to make a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the amendments to the County Code to enact Section 2-1-7 to assess an electronic summons system fee.
Second.
You
said second. All right. Doe made the motion. Hodge made the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. We'll move on to item D, approval of a waiver of the maximum sign area requirements for the Wawa at Zion's Crossroads. Mr. Fortune.
So this is for the planned Wawa at the intersection of US 15 and 250. You go ahead, Eric. So basically what we're asking is an approval to waive the requirements for the maximum sign areas, which are stipulated in County Code Section 22-15-3. You of course are maybe aware that a number of parcels are rezoned in that area to make way for the Wawa store. Site plans have been submitted. They include sign plans with a sign permit application. The reason we're here tonight, pylon sign A, it's a monument sign, which per the consultant's drawings totals 51.65 square feet, which is larger than what section 22-15-3 allows for monument signs. You can go ahead, Eric. Just a brief reminder of the location. You can go ahead, Eric. And again, the aerial of the location. So just real quickly, the sign A is circled for you. That's the sign we're discussing tonight. You might notice that sign B is missing from this plan. That's because sign B is physically located in Louisa County. So the consultant for this presentation left that off. But sign A is the one we're talking about tonight.
And that's the one on 15.
Yes, that's correct. You can go ahead, Eric. That's our rendering of the proposed sign. Again, 51.65 square feet. And the consultant has requested a waiver by letter in writing for that requirement so they can proceed with the pylon sign A, which is as submitted. And there is the letter for you. It's I believe it's in your packet. And I'll take any questions the board has.
Is our sign going to be bigger than Louise's?
If memory serves, yes.
Good.
No other questions or comments? All right. Do we have anybody who would like to come to the podium with questions or comments? Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct the board. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment and have a motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the request for a waiver to the maximum sign area requirements under Section 22-15-3 of the Clevenger County Code for the Wawa and sign structure.
Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Moving on to consent agenda. Anybody have anything?
Yeah, there was one question I just had. Did we use the emergency declaration for any actions?
Mr. Trudeau, do you want to come up? We didn't need to use it. I mean, we had it in place should we need it, but there was nothing. I mean, there was some trees being cut and stuff like that, but nothing to the extent of where I think we're seeing reimbursement or anything.
No, the only damage that was noted, there was one resident that called in with leaking water into her roof. She was referred back to her insurance company to contact them. She said she had attempted to, and I said, you need to be very persistent with them. And then the only other damage that was noted was trees down that were taken care of the fire department. And there was roughly 10 calls, I believe, in regards to trees down in the environment. So no other damage was noted with the situation.
And the reason we terminated that Saturday at 11:59, because that was pretty much the time when any type of activities were finished.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? All right.
I move that we adopt the consent agenda as presented.
Okay. Motion made by Mr. Goh, seconded by Mr. Hobbs. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Moving on to unfinished business.
Yes.
So do this claim change. Oops.
From the Palmyra district, as redrawn following the 2020 census, and redistricting is technically no longer located in the village of Palmyra. So it was previously discussed by the board whether or not to change this district name. So one change is made by ordinance, which requires a public hearing. Also notification of voters of the change is also required for Virginia Code 24.2-306. Changes to voting precincts must take place no less than 60 days prior to a general election. This section does not apply to primary elections, but it's important to be mindful of how close the primary election is. And again, just as a reminder, early voting begins 45 days prior to the election, whether it's primary or general election. Notice of changes must be mailed no later than 15 days prior to a general election. So just some numbers for the districts. So the number of registered active voters per district is right there. You can see it's, you know, hovers right around 4,000 is the average, a little bit more, a little bit less. As far as cost, if the board wanted to make some type of change, so we pay about 69 cents for a letter. So let's just say, for instance, if we wanted to send it out or just make the change for the Palmyra district, from postage, it would cost a little over $2,700. If you wanted to do for all five districts, it'd be a little over $14,000. You know, there'd also be costs for envelopes, paper, maybe outsource things for, and staff costs for printing, processing, mailings, legal ads, publication of newspapers. So just from a high-level estimate, we estimated anywhere between, if you just did one district, it'd be $3,400 to $4,000, to up to $17,000 to $20,000 from a cost of changing all names per district. So one thing, just some important dates to keep in mind. One, Tuesday, November 5th, 2024 is the general election. So if you wanted to make changes, it would have to be done by September 6th. Notice must be mailed, like notices must be mailed 15 days prior to the general election, which would be Monday, October 2nd. One thing to keep in mind, there's possibility of a special election if necessary to fill Virginia Senate District 10, and that's unknown, but it could potentially be in January 2025. And then primary elections, if held, would be June 17, 2025. So Ms. Pace, Director of Elections, General Registrar, recommended that the board wanted to make any changes to delay doing so until after the presidential election. And even so, there was even discussion of maybe waiting until after there's a thought if there's going to be a special election in January. So do it sometime between January and June if the board wanted to do it, because there would be ample time to get notices and all that stuff out. I mean, if we could do it before January, but I think after January and sometime before June would give just the most time to, you know, make sure everyone was notified and get all notices out and make any changes. So the only kind of decision points for the board is one, does the board want to make a district name change? And if so, is it Palmyra only or all five districts? If the name is selected to change, what is the new name of the district or districts? And then just, you know, from a decision point, timing or effective date. So that's pretty much it. You know, I know this was kind of stemmed from the Palmyra district, but I'll leave it up to the board and we'll have to answer any questions.
I would be very against changing the name of the Fort Union district. I can tell you right now, I would not be in favor and would not vote for that. I just think that, you know, if you take that out, you sort of, you know, lose the attention that it brings to that area of that district. So that would be something that I would be very against. With regard to Palmyra, I don't really have a preference there one way or another. I think I would probably defer to Mr. Hodge, or, you know, really, you know, I know Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Fairchild have a lot of area close over there as well. You know, I kind of would follow y'all's lead on that, but I would be very against changing the name of the Fort Union district.
So I think I was the one who brought it up quite a while back, and it was over the Palmyra district. And my concern was, if you just moved to Fluvanna, and you're running off to vote, and you know things get scattered, and the kids have to be fed, and so on, and you run to Palmyra, you're not going to vote. You don't get to vote. It's a natural thing that we've led people to do, to come to Palmyra, because you're in the Palmyra district. But to not be able to vote and find out that it has nothing to do with Palmyra might be a little salt in the wound. Or you take a young voter that first time they've ever voted, wants to go ahead and do the civic duty and shows up in the wrong place. And so clearly in that we describe something that is not true or not accurate.
My thought was, and I hear you, and I'm okay with sticking with the other ones. My thought was numbered districts. You think of the fact that, you know, how many times have we heard people say that Sycamore Square is the Fork Union District? What? How could I be in the Fork Union District in Sycamore Square? You know, so my thought is at some point, something's got to change in the immediate, if all it is changing Palmyra. But, you know, that with every redistricting, those lines will move and keep creating more of this issue. Is, you know, which district is the next one?
Well, since we're not letting people vote to Blue Banner, I don't think it's an issue.
You're such a volatile creature.
I'm okay with the Blue Banner district right now.
I'd say if we did this, we'd just do one. Like you said, I'm voting in Palmyra, I'm voting in Troy. Whether you use Troy, whether you use Beaver Dam.
Actually, Troy's in your district.
Well, that whole area is referred to as Troy for those of us who grew up here.
Yeah. A little bit of salty.
I mean, don't jump at me and not know what to
do. What's the district you're in down by the river?
What's that?
The district that you're in down by the river.
The Cutting Edge District?
No, the other river. The New River place. What's that district?
So try to keep to a short bit. So what are we saying? Just Palmyra?
That's all I'd be.
I mean, I would prefer to see her vibe in terms of whether you want to
stay at Palmyra, you can stay at Palmyra.
He wants to be
hot. No, I understand where you're coming from with that. And I don't think there's an appetite to invade the Columbia District and retake Palmyra. But we should probably name it something sensible, something far enough up in that district, whether it's Beaver Dam or Meacham or even, I mean, you got Paynes Mill Road and Paynes up in there, Paynes District. Any of those would be good choices.
Only thing I'd say is going that far over now, where although that's where they vote, that's pushing towards the line, you know.
So the likelihood of
I'm thinking something more essential that was, I mean, what, again, if you're from here, everybody knows Three Chop Community Center. What is the Three Chop District, which is right, I mean, it's pretty, it's not center, but it's.
I have a few people run to it off of me. I didn't say I hit much, they hit them off of me. I don't know about all
that. Do you all not know?
The community center.
I mean, you could do like when they start a new NFL franchise and pull the people and get some. They do that with school. They actually do that with school name changes, though, don't they? Don't they take input from the citizens? I mean, I don't know if that's something worth going through and doing that, but I mean, it seems to me that you might get some input from some of those folks, if there's a possible way to do that. I don't know how we would do that or coalesce those things or figure out if 100 come in, which 5 go to the top for discussion, not, you know, but.
I think if our, you know, if our concern is new voters and people get lost, then Beaver Dam would be the most sensible one. And I can't see us moving away from there. And it's far enough up in the district, I couldn't see how you could redistrict and draw that out of it.
You have had a pretty drastic change in the district.
I don't think there's anywhere else it could be in that district unless something else is built in one of our new areas of development.
I don't see
it. I'm good with it.
Beaver Dam would be fine with me. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we were making a change. We would give us the basis of things and make it go up.
Yeah.
You want to make a motion to change your name?
You know who would be a good person to talk to? You brought him up.
Tom Payne or Miss Eager or Miner, any of them. Well, let's do this. Let's make a motion that will.
I don't think we need a motion. Just look into it.
Yeah, let's look into it and schedule this for the second meeting in January.
You said look into it. You're going to talk to people?
I'll talk to the ones up in the
district. Do you want to, and because like I said, if you're going to talk about it,
that would advertise it either second meeting in January and then have public hearings.
Yeah, it might be good to have a more formal decision before that meeting in January, if that's the route we want to go. So if there's any staff things we need to get going on the back end.
Maybe do hearings in December with the idea to make the change in January. Because you don't have to make the change at the hearing, do you?
The ordinance would say when it's effective.
Yeah.
So it could be effective February 1st, March 1st. Right. It really just depends if there's that special election in January.
Whether we can worry about that. And then just make it December meeting.
Yeah, and then anyone that's interested could turn up and voice their opinion. Because that makes way.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, you want us to bring it back in December or maybe in November for things being planned?
November.
We'll bring it back like maybe the second meeting in November after the election and everything?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yes.
Anything else?
I did get a phone call from one of the supervisors of the fire department. And I think some of the folks did. Yeah, first, I apologize. I don't recall his name right off the top of my head right now. Basically, he sort of apologized. Didn't think that it was clear that the county had additional money to spend. Second was basically that, you know, they would be willing to pay a fair price. I told them that I didn't know what that fair price was in the process of examining that. But that certainly we consider things such as commissions and things along those lines that would be paid to those.
Yes. A couple of supervisors from there?
Yes.
From the county?
Yes.
Austin County.
From a supervisor from there?
Yeah.
Yes. I've been in contact with a gentleman on the fire department. And they have got money, additional funds from other places. They would be able to.
So I think what he's basically asking was if you get quotes, say, from one of the companies that was looking to buy this and this, look at what it would sell on because, and that drew the commission and so on, that they just like to know what that price was.
So I know Mr. Drew and Ms. Melton, they've been doing a little looking and talking to some folks. Now, Jim, you want to come up and then just, because I know you gave me a number, but I don't, like I said, I don't want to hold you to where that number came from. And
So I did reach out and was contacted by one of the local distributors regarding that particular truck. excuse me. And the original figure, I believe, was $10,000. And the person that acts as selling fire trucks, so he's very familiar with the process, and he definitely agreed 10 was on the low side, but he also said that the price probably, if we're going to do something like that, should be around the 20,000. And he felt somewhere between 20 and 30,000 would be an accurate number in regards to it. He is a citizen from here, and he also mentioned that, he felt like 20,000 in helping out a neighboring community with a fire apparatus was a fair figure for the citizens of Urbana.
Yeah, and I would add that the supervisor or the individual mentioned that they were sort of desperate need for that tanker.
Yeah, and I talked, and I don't know if it's the same person you talked to, Mr. O'Brien, but I talked to I believe it was the chief out there, and he had listened to the last meeting. There is some additional funds that I think 20, based on my conversation with them, sounds doable. I think there's also some money out there they're seeking that before that money is given, and it sounds like they would like to know kind of where we're heading with this on the Flavanna side of things. I kind of asked them to some of the questions that we're giving here because then there was this concept of having to waive this policy of how we sell things and whether or not, try to stay within the lines of policy, but sometimes you consider, we have three people that would consider waiving that policy for whatever reason. I asked him, I said, there are some people who are concerned about the concept of waiving standard practices that we have done in the past, and his statement was that they dealt with a flood out there, they basically got, didn't get the money they thought they were going to get from FEMA. I think it was Congressman Riggleman at the time that helped them get something where they were able to build that new fire station that they had out there with some I don't know if it was FEMA grants or USD or where the grants and money came from. But really, they have been on hard times since that. And yes, they got their new building, but they are on very hard times since then. And I think the thought process was that they have seen the vehicle, they like the vehicle, they know that the vehicle fits their needs. If they're bidding on something that's in California, they haven't put eyes on it, they haven't put hands on it, they don't know how long it's going to take. They are paying that commission there, and upcharge from GovDeals, what have you. And I think it was if they're in need and they feel like if this could get done, that it would expedite this truck getting in their hands. So I do put that out there to say that they have been on some hard times. They do have a need, and I think they have some additional monies to come up with.
Just building what you said, you know the people that have been running. So he knows the people that
he knows he's been taken care of.
I thought we had to. One, I thought we were going to find out their avenues to get a fair market value.
Well, that's the one thing we're still looking at. I mean, yes, there are companies that we can get that in. Like I said, we weren't ready to.
Yeah. I wasn't asking for that. I'm just relaying that information to say that in your calculations when you're doing the comparison you present to the board, that you factor in things such as, you know, the commission fee or the discount fee that's paid to the auction place, et cetera, so that, you know, we fall in that way. So that if at the end of the day, let's say for your conversation there, $25,000 is in between 30 and 25, while, you know, it's a 20% fee, you know, if it was 30, you'd be at 24,000. It gives the board something to consider, that's all.
Mm-hmm. I think, and we're looking up right now, we believe the seller, and we believe the buyer pays a premium or a fee. I think it's 13% or something like that is what it is.
Yeah. Above the price that they
want. Yes. And that's the fee that goes to go. Yeah.
My thing is, if we were able to get 25 for it, or let's say 20, straight up, they could buy it for 20. Could we do that?
I mean, could we? Well, you certainly could. I mean, but again, you're waiving the board would have to waive a policy to allow that.
And I think if there's sufficient information that without wasting a bunch of staff time necessarily, but you know, it's relatively easy to get information saying, you know, this vehicle on average will sell for this price, and that's presented, and the board can make an exception for a neighboring county. Decision is there, but you'll never be done. Sort of as well, you know, kind of the way it was done last time.
As long as I knew that we determined fair market value,
we're not going through us,
right. Then I'd be okay with that. It's anything else.
And when you say without going through us, do you mean a third party and not someone?
What do you mean?
Yeah. As long as it comes through us when it's done, and not done on the outside. Mm-hmm.
And it was all well attended.
It was well attended, and it was just like this, because I'm telling you, that truck in Cumberland I've had now, it still looks the exact same, and they're still using it.
Ms. Melton, do you know, have we received surplus paperwork on it yet?
No, I've spoken to Chief Mayo. I'm supposed to have it by the end of this week.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't received the surplus paperwork saying that it's out of their hands, so.
That's you don't have company one?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to wait until we get that paperwork.
But we can meanwhile be establishing fair market value.
Yeah, we can. Like I said, I know Ms. Melton and Ms. True, we're checking into a few things.
If it comes back $20,000 to $25,000, I'm positive that they can come up with that. They've had some more donations and fundraisers.
And it's just a misunderstanding as to what was available.
At that point in time, that's what it was, and then they've come across more. So as soon as we get that there, then we can possibly give them word, as long as it's within the reason.
Yeah, we'll see who we can find to do like an independent
evaluation
or whatever.
Yeah. But Kelly Blue Book value is our next.
Don't do it by the one that taxes on.
All right, anything else? Moving on to new business.
Yep, just a couple things here. So one, I know there was some discussion, and then we'll go on to the other one, some discussion about the VACO Certified Supervisors course. So if the board is interested in doing something like that, so there's three modules, and we can phone a friend for, since they're a recent graduate, but there's a module one on budgeting, module two on land use, on planning and land use, and I think infrastructure, and then a module three on leadership.
So you're saying you can take any one of those as your one for this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would want to do them all at once.
The way that it works is there's three parts of the course here. Now, some people came in because they didn't have the opportunity to do the others and did one of the other. But the certified supervisor course, you want to do all three in order to get that certification. And the first one, they're going to walk in and hand you a budget and say, make this work. You know, and then they're going to throw you some curveballs and you got to figure out how to get around it.
Yeah, so it's a program that lasts about over a year. And so like for instance, they don't have 2025, it's probably less than that. But so like the first one, then they don't have 2025 dates out. So it says module one budgeting, this is for last year. It was June 24th to March 27th. And then there's a cost for that. And then the module two, planning, land use, and infrastructure, was May 3rd to June 28th. And then module three is August 9th to September 20th. So that one's going on right now.
And you had brought this up to me at the Baker graduation.
Yeah, remote.
And I meant to do it, and it just got passed.
It's one of those things. I was in there for 10 years before I did.
So, I mean, if the board wanted to do it, you know, we'd have to look at, you know, it sounds like probably signing up to start in January is when you'd want to do it.
You can do both. They teach you classes in Richmond.
This is like the planning, certified planning commissioner's class.
Correct. Yeah, similar.
Similar announcement.
Yeah.
Nobody has to do it. You don't have to do it.
Same person.
Yeah.
In person.
I'm sorry?
In person in Richmond.
In Richmond, or you can do virtual. They did have it as virtual, so some of the people would call in from their offices with their big flags and their big offices and assistants.
Sorry, that'd certainly be interesting.
Yeah, that's me.
That
would be interesting, too.
I would
like to see the agenda.
Yeah, I'd like to see more on that.
It was really great for the fact that the budgeting part, we were so in-depth with our budgeting. That one was easy. Planning and zoning, which Mike's been on the planning commission, so that would be easier for you. And then the leadership one is just talking about how to do things. And it was all good, and the connections I made with the other students were still continuing those things. So that's the next part.
So on the page, it looks like there may be some videos, short videos of some of the modules. I haven't looked at them yet. So what I can do is I can just send an email off to the board with the link, and then you can go through and take a look, and it brings you right to the page. Again, I don't think they have 2025 out yet, but maybe
they'll probably be talking about it in November. Probably. I'm sure they'll be trying to get involved.
They're probably trying to get this module kind of finished up, and then.
Can you just send us all a link? We can look at the decision.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. And then in reference to that, too, I know there was a discussion of, okay, well, say you have, three board members that went to an education training. So in this last year's legislation, there were some amendments to the definition of meeting. So, Mr. Whitten, do you want to talk specifically about that?
So they made a couple, because of that lawsuit out of Prince William County, they made a couple changes. FOIA Council and they have a FOIA committee to recommend these changes. So basically, when you have more than two members of the public body, there can be no discussion or transaction of public business. And so they added a definition of public business, which means any activity a public body has undertaken or proposes to undertake on behalf of the people it represents. And then they also added that informational gatherings are exempt from the meeting definition. So they tried to make it a little more clear that basically, if you're going to be transacting public business, or if you're going to be discussing public business, so it's anything you currently on an agenda or a future agenda, if you have three members there, it's a meeting. So that's what got Prince William in trouble, is basically they had more than two members discussing something, and they had a board meeting later that day with the whole board discussing the same thing.
I can tell you, having gone through the planning commissioner's class with Loretta, it is very hard to not
go back on things that you've talked about or things that you know are sitting there that you're discussing. And so I guess what I would say, if that's the case, then maybe only two people should.
That was going to be my suggestion, because especially the first one on the budget, only two who take the class at one time.
I asked it in relation to Mako. This isn't about the class.
This is basically, so let's say when you go to the Mako conference, right? Let's say there's four board members there. You basically can't discuss public business there. You can't discuss anything.
All four of you.
Two and two, you can discuss that.
Yes.
But there's three or four of y'all, you can't discuss anything on a current board agenda or any future agenda, or be considered a meeting. You have to give notice of that meeting.
So like I said to Eric yesterday, just blurring the lines a little bit, let's say you're in a session on solar, and you have three Fluvanna board members in that session.
Are you doing like a class?
Yeah. Then can three board members ask questions and have conversation amongst that group without it being a quorum or a session?
Well, you're not, try not to sit together. try to sit separate. If you're in several parts of that room, you're asking questions, that's not a meeting. But if you're all sitting together, asking questions, discussing the response, discussing how that affects Fluvanna, that's where it could be perceived as a meeting.
I think in the past, the guidance that we got was, if you had three members and there was maybe some discussion, one member just kind of walks out, and maybe then another member can walk out and vice versa. So it just avoids the...
Well, again, in some of this new legislation, it says, the amendments, certain educational trainings are not meetings under subject.
Informational gathering, that's not. So as long as you're not actually discussing Fluvanna County and discussing,
discussing solar in general, and then, you're in a class and you're discussing solar, but, not specific to, hey, we've got this particular case.
How would that apply with, when we had the event in the Fork Union Community Center where somebody else is presenting information? So three of us could be in the room, and that'd be fine?
I think the other guys had us made it.
We did, so you got a couple options. If you wanted to speak on it, we advertise it as a meeting. Or if we didn't advertise it as a meeting, then no one can talk about it if you have three people in there. Now, if you only had two people in there, then you're fine. But as soon as that third person comes in there, and all three of you are having that discussion about a particular topic in Fluvanna.
Even if it's just to the speaker, not amongst each other.
I would say yes, because it's specific to Fluvanna business, the business that you're handling in Fluvanna. Yeah. And so that's where we're like, okay, well, that's where we really need to know if there's these community meetings and the board really wants to speak at. Well, if there's more than two of you, we need to put out notice.
Because what happened in the Prince William case, basically, I think there's three or four members of the board that showed up to this community meeting. They were asking questions, they were speaking, they were talking. And then later that evening, they had an emergency meeting and the whole board was there. And basically the court ruled that you were discussing public business, because later that evening you had the exact same discussion with the same speakers.
Yes.
So even though they weren't sitting together transacting business, the fact that they were asking questions and speaking and presenting their points, the court found that was a meeting.
Gotcha. All right, thank you. Anything else on it? All right, we're going to move on to the next round of public comment. Anybody wishing to address the board, please come to the podium. State your name and address. And remember, keep your comments 5 minutes on topic and direct the board. Anybody wishing to address the board?
Do I have to get on the podium?
Please.
Oh, okay.
No, please. In the world.
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
Name and address.
I may break the protocol a little bit by potentially referring to a member of the board, so I'm just going to say that in advance. But, sometimes in the daily process of life, you just see something extraordinary happen. And so earlier this afternoon, there was a board member who showed up a little bit late. And that was because when he was buying himself his dinner, because he just finished coaching football and doing those things, he rushed out the door and noticed somebody who maybe needed a hand. And so he turned over his meal to that person. And then went back inside and got himself a meal, which, if anybody was listening on the microphone, they'd hear it. So I just wanted to recognize Mr. Sheridan as being an extraordinary individual and somebody who gives to the community nonstop.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. O'Brien. Anybody else wish to address the board? This is a strange evening.
All right, seeing none.
We're having a closed meeting?
Yes.
We'll go over to the workshop.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors to enter closed meeting pursuant to provision of section 2.2-3711A7, section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia 1950, amendment to the purpose of discussing litigation, Gate Plaza LLC versus the Board of Supervisors of Savannah County, and legal matters, contract user grants under the water and sewer ordinance of Valdez Crossroads.
Second. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Hodge. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned. The Savannah County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be able to call the Board of Supervisors as hereby certified to the best of its members' knowledge. One, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended. And two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Goode. Roll call, right?
Aye.
Mr. Goode?
Aye.
Mr. Hodge?
Aye.
Mr. Sheridan?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, seconded by Mr. Hodge. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0.